Tom, knee-deep in the waves, a piece of driftwood in his hand, listened. The house, up towards the coast highway in the late afternoon, was silent. The sounds of closets being rummaged, suitcase locks snapping, and of a final door crashing shut, all had faded away. Chico, standing on the pale sand, flourished his wire strainer to shake out a harvest of lost coins. After a moment, without glancing at Tom, he said, "Let her go." So it was every year. For a week or a month, their house would have music swelling from the windows. There would be new geraniums potted on the porch rail. The clothes on the wire line changed from harlequin pants to sheath dresses to handmade Mexican frocks like white waves breaking behind the house. Sometimes, looking up, he would see a woman drying her hair like a bright yellow flag on the wind. Sometimes the flag was black or red against the sky. But there was never more than one woman at a time. And at last a day like today came. Tom placed his driftwood on the growing pile near where Chico sifted the billion footprints left by people long vanished from their holidays. "Chico, what are we doing here?"
"Living the life of Riley, boy."
"I don't feel like Riley, Chico."
"Work at it, boy."
Tom nodded imperceptibly. Once a year, he himself brought a nice girl here, knowing she was right at last, and that in no time they would be married. But his women always stole silently away before dawn, feeling they had been mistaken for someone else, not being able to play the part. Chico's friends left like vacuum cleaners with a terrific roar, leaving no lint unturned. "Chico," Tom bit his lower lip, "I've been thinking, why don't we split up? Maybe we'd have better luck alone."
"Look here, boy, you and me, we'll still be here in 30 years, a couple of crazy, dumb old goony birds drying their bones in the sun. Nothing's ever going to happen to us now. Tom, it's too late. Get that through your head and shut up."
Tom swallowed and looked steadily at the other man. "I'm thinking of leaving next week."
Shut up, and get to work."
Chico gave the sand an angry showering rake that tilled him 43 cents in dimes, pennies, and nickels. He stared blindly at the coins, shimmering down the wires like a pinball game all afire. Tom didn't move, holding his breath. They both seemed to be waiting for something.
Hey!
From a long way off down the coast, a voice called. A boy was waving, running along the shore 200 yards away. There was something in his voice that made Tom feel suddenly cold.
"Hey!"
The boy pulled up, gasping, pointing back along the shore.
"A woman! A funny woman by the North Rock!"
"A woman!" Chico began to laugh.
"Oh, no!
"What do you mean, a funny woman?" asked Tom.
"I don't know. You got to come see. Awful funny."
"You mean drowned?"
"Maybe. She came out of the water. She's lying on the shore. You got to see yourself. She's got a fish's tail."
Chico laughed again.
"Not before supper, please. Please, no lie. Oh, hurry."
He ran off, sensed he was not followed, and looked back in dismay. Tom felt his lips move. "Boy wouldn't run this far for a joke, would he, Chico? People have run further for less." Tom started walking.
"All right, son." "Thanks, mister. Oh, thanks."
The boy ran. 20 yards up the coast, Tom looked back. Behind him, Chico squinted, shrugged, dusted his hands wearily, and followed. They moved north along the twilight beach.
"What?" said Tom. "What if we get to North Rock and it's true? The ocean has washed some thing up."
They came around the North Rock. A second boy stood there, looking down. He was pale and seemed not to breathe. Tom glanced away from the boy to the sand. And Tom's face, in the next moment, became the face of the boy. His hands assumed the same curl at his sides, and his mouth moved to open and stay half open. The setting sun was 10 minutes above the sea.
"A big wave came in and went out," said the first boy. "And here she was."
They looked at the woman lying there. Her hair was very long, and it lay on the beach like the threads of an immense harp. It was the color of limes. The men bent half down in wonder. Her face was white sand sculpture, with a few water drops shimmering on it like summer rain upon a cream-colored rose. And as the water shifted her, her skin glinted like the surface of a pearl. The lower half of her body changed itself from white to very pale blue, to pale green and lime green, a rush of light and dark, to end in a lacy fan, a spread of foam and jewel on the sand. The woman was the sea was woman. There was no flaw or seam. The illusion, if illusion it was, held perfectly together, and the blood from one moved into and mingled with what must have been the ice waters of the other.
"I wanted to run, get help."
The first boy seemed not to want to raise his voice.
"But Skip said she was dead, and there's no help for that."
"She was never alive," said Chico. "It's something left over from a movie studio, a prop, a dummy."
"Oh, no! She's real!"
"We'll find a label somewhere."
Chico touched the body to turn it and stopped. He knelt there, his face changing.
"What's the matter?"
asked Tom.
Chico took his hand away and looked at it.
"I was wrong."
Tom took the woman's wrist. "There's a pulse."
"You're feeling your own heartbeat," said Chico.
"I don't know. Maybe."
"There's a trick somewhere,"
cried Chico suddenly.
"No." Tom burst out in laughter. "No trick, my God. I feel great. I haven't felt so great since I was a kid."
They walked slowly around her. A wave touched her white hand, so the fingers softly waved. The gesture was that of someone asking for another and another wave to come in and take them back down out to sea.
"Tom,"
Chico's mouth opened and closed,
"why don't you go and get our truck?"
Tom didn't move.
"You hear me?"
"Yes, but..."
"But what? We could sell this somewhere. I don't know, the university, that aquarium at Seal Beach, or, well, hell, why couldn't we just set up a place? Look, drive to the pier, buy us 300 pounds of cheap ice. When you take anything out of the water, you need the ice, don't you?"
"I don't know, Chico."
"What do you mean? She's real, isn't she? What are we waiting for?"
"Chico, you better go get the ice yourself."
"Hey, someone's got to stay and make sure she don't go back out with the tide."
"Chico, I don't know how to explain. I don't want to get that ice for you."
"I'll go myself, then." "Look, boys, build the sand up here to keep the waves back. I'll give you $5 apiece. Hop to it. My God, this is better than finding ambergris."
He ran to the top of the nearest dune and called,
"Get to work,"
and was gone. Now Tom and the two boys were left with the lonely woman by the North Rock, and the sun was 1/4 of the way below the western horizon. The sand and the woman were pink gold. Tom looked at the face and the great strands of hair spread out in a lyre on the shore.
"She's beautiful."
The boys nodded. Tom felt himself trembling. He saw the boys were trembling too. A car horn hooted. Their eyes blinked, suddenly afraid. They looked up toward the highway. A wave poured about the body, framing it in a clear white pool of water. Tom nodded the boys to one side. The next wave came and moved the body 2 inches in and 6 inches out toward the sea.
But,
said the first boy. Tom shook his head. The third wave lifted the body 2 feet down toward the sea. The first boy cried out and ran after it, but Tom reached him and held his arm. For a moment, there were no more waves. Tom looked at the woman, thinking, "She's true. She's real. She's mine. But she's dead, or will be if she stays here."
"We can't let her go," said the first boy. "We just can't."
The other boy stepped between the woman and the sea.
"What would we do with her if we kept her?"
The first boy tried to think.
"We could..."
He stopped and shook his head. The second boy stepped out of the way and left a path from the woman to the sea. The next wave was a big one. It came in and went out, and the sand was empty. The whiteness was gone, and the great threads of the harp. They stood by the edge of the sea, looking out, until they heard the truck driving up on the dunes behind them. The last of the sun was gone. They heard footsteps running on the dunes, and someone yelling. They drove back down the darkening beach. The two boys sat in the rear on the bags of chipped ice. After a long while, Chico began to swear steadily, half to himself, spitting out the window.
300 pounds of ice! What do I do with it now, huh? And I'm soaked to the skin, soaked! You didn't even move when I jumped in and swam out to look around. You haven't changed. Like every other time, like always, you do nothing, nothing.
And what did you do? Said Tom, looking ahead. The same as you always did. You should have seen yourself.
They dropped the boys off at their beach house. The younger boy spoke in a voice you could hardly hear against the wind.
Gosh, nobody'll ever believe.
The two men drove down the coast and parked. Chico sat for 2 or 3 minutes waiting for his fist to relax on his lap, and then he snorted.
"Yeah, I guess things turn out for the best." He took a deep breath.
"Tom."
"What?"
"Next week, you're not going away."
It was not a question, but a quiet statement.
Tom thought about it, his cigarette dead in his fingers. And he knew that now he could never go away. For tomorrow and the day after that, he could walk down and go swimming there in all the green and white fires and the dark caverns in the hollows under the strange waves. Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow.
"Yes, Chico, I'm staying here."
Now the silver-looking glasses advanced in a crumpling line all along the coast from 1,000 miles north to 1,000 miles south. The mirrors didn't reflect so much as one building or one tree or one highway or even one man himself. The mirrors reflected only the quiet moon and then shattered into a billion bits of glass that spread out in a glaze on the shore. Then the sea was dark a while, preparing another line of mirrors to rear up and surprise the two men who sat there for a long time, never once blinking their eyes, waiting.
Ed Bishop was reading The Shoreline at Sunset by Ray Bradbury. The producer was Rosemary Watts.